Hello, everyone. My name is James Ross Kiefer, and welcome to the Karen Levine Podcast. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about some of the shortcomings of the Netflix series Atypical. Chauncey James is going to give us some updates on local Greensboro talent, and student Lily Pierce is going to share her story of dealing with accessibility issues around campus.
Jess Clifford, our arts and entertainment editor at the Carolinian.
Hello.
And Annie Walker, our opinions editor.
Hey.
So for our listeners that don't know much about Atypical, do you think you guys can shed some light on it?
Sure. So Atypical is a Netflix original show that came out this August, and it follows an 18-year-old high-functioning autistic boy named Sam as he begins to start dating, and it follows his whole family. So he's got a sister who's on the soccer team, and she's interested in dating someone. His parents are somewhat supportive, but they also have their own troubles that they're working through. And then, of course, we follow Sam and his therapist and his dating life and his friends.
So what was your overall first impressions?
So the show is a really fun show at first, or so it seems. And then once you get into the characters, they're less dynamic than you are expecting. And with that, also, you see the underneath parts where it is more sexist, and there could be some parts where people are like questioning, hey, is this really how an autistic person would act? But most of it, from, you know, a woman's point of view, is the sexist parts that came out.
So what do you mean by sexist parts? What are some examples of that?
So I think we both came away thinking that there were some less than great representations of female characters. So let's just go over a few of the female characters for those listeners who might not have seen it recently or who maybe need to be brought up to speed. So the first main character that we meet is the mother, and she has a lot going on. She's very stressed. She has some tumultuous times in her marriage, which leads her to have an affair, for which the show greatly villainizes her. Then there's the daughter, who is largely ignored by her family. She's a star track runner, and she has some exciting things happening in her life, but they really just don't get a lot of credit on the screen. And then there's Sam's therapist named Julia, and she's a young woman. She's very good at her job. She seems to be very invested at first, and we get the sense that they have a good rapport, but Julia's got some troubles in her relationships and with her job, and the ways that her life comes apart are a little bit suspect, and that they don't necessarily portray her very dynamically. And then there are the girls that Sam dates. So the most notable person is a girl named Paige, who goes to his school, and we don't really know very much about her. We know that they go to the same school. We know that she's very interested in dating Sam, and we know that there's a lot of situations where you would think maybe this isn't a dynamic that would be super healthy or that would be great to be the girlfriend in, and she does not seem to have any objections, but rather just wants to make it known that she is so excited to be dating Sam all the time. I mean, he locks her in a closet at one point, and this gets played off as like, oh, just a funny thing, and nobody's particularly bothered by it except the father, but even that's not terribly cumbersome.
So would you say that they're kind of using Sam's initial lust for a girlfriend as like a plot device that just allows him to breeze through, well, that allows the audience to breeze through this kind of casual sexism?
Definitely, because you don't really see much other than Sam wanting to date someone. It doesn't matter who she is, that it's just someone with female body parts. Hey, you're the first person that I see on the street. That's the person I want to date. That's pretty much how he acts. And at one point, he's trying to just date his therapist, even though she's, I don't know, 10 15 years older than him, and it's just
professional work environment, and yet he doesn't seem to ever like, no one seems to quite come to the conclusion that that's inappropriate behavior.
Mm-hmm. And so they kind of play off that, oh, he just doesn't know things, and that's why he's acting this way. And none of his like parents or friends say this is wrong. Instead, he actually has a friend at work that pushes him to continue dating girls and just doing whatever he can. And so,
right, in a weird way, it seems to kind of play into the pickup artist mentality of like, all women are like a point for you in your scoreboard, and it doesn't really pay attention to like wanting a girlfriend because, oh, I know this girl and she's really great and I'd like to spend more time with her and I have romantic feelings for her, therefore I would like her to be my girlfriend. But rather, it's coming from a place of, it is time that I am a little bit entitled to feeling a breast in my hand, therefore I'm gonna go out and make that happen. And like, whoever happens to be attached to that breast, like, I guess that's nice, but it's not really something that's very important to Sam, or really a lot of the other characters involved in that. The father seems to also go along with this narrative that, like, just get a girl, you'll have a good time, and certainly his friend at work very much views women as objects of sexual pleasure.
In one episode, Sam is going to this strip joint. He's just not having a good day. It's kind of like he's down on his luck, and he's with his friend from work. And so when he goes to the strip joint, he realizes he has to spend all this money and he doesn't want to do that. So outside of the strip joint is this woman who, she is just on a break, smoking a cigarette, not doing much. And he starts complaining about how, oh, he's never seen a woman's breast before. And so she just falls into the idea of, okay, I'll show this boy who seems a little awkward and weird. I don't know anything about him or his story, but I'll just show him my breasts. And it just seems a little odd, especially because it's this one of the only people of color in the show, and she is just like, okay, I'll do whatever I can for this little white boy that's, you know, going through some tough times with girls.
So what do you think some of the consequences are of underdeveloping these female characters?
So I think one of the surprising consequences of having a whole host of women whose characters are relatively underdeveloped and uninteresting is that the men, in turn, tend to fall flat, and they have relatively boring interactions with these boring women. I think one of the surprising things that I learned was actually that this was produced by a woman named Rabia Rashid. And normally, I think one of the easy criticisms of a piece of media like a film or a television series that tends to have relatively underdeveloped female characters is like, oh, it's really easy to write it off as it's just like it was written by a sexist man who just kind of like came up with a list of women that he'd like to sleep with and wrote them into the show for his benefit and the benefit of other similar male viewers. But in this case, we have to consider like that's probably not what Rabia Rashid was doing. And instead, we have to grapple with these relatively systemic biases toward not having interesting female characters. This also brings up the idea that as a woman who wants to support other women in film, I genuinely have a great interest in there being lots of women who are producing interesting content about women, for people of color, like that we're broadening out who media is for. And yet that sometimes leads to this temptation to say, well, you're not being a good feminist, or you are a woman and therefore you are expected to produce content that's good for women explicitly. When we ask that, you know, someone represent all of their group, whether that's women or Asian Americans or what have you, we tend to put a lot of pressure that we don't put on male directors. So I just think that that is something that we really have to grapple with, is how do we contend with how deep this runs in Hollywood, and how to talk about a woman director whose own work may not live up to our standards of what we'd like to see for women represented in the media.
But, you know, at the same time, there is one character, the sister, her name's Casey, and she is dynamic, and she's probably the only dynamic character in the entire show, at least a character that we know more about her. She's a track star, and she wants to get into this really good school, and she has these aspirations, but she's also thinking about this background with her parents and why she saw her mom have an affair, and why why her dad seems standoffish to explain some past experiences they had as a children. So with that, it seems as though she has way more of a part in the show, that we want to see her more than we would the other characters, because the other characters, we know what's going on. We know that Sam just wants to be dating, and Sam wants to be like every other guy. But it's the same with the mom. She just wants a new life, and the dad just wants to kind of get away from the idea of having an autistic son. So it just seems as though the only one we can go back to is Casey.
Right, but even when we're talking about Casey, it seems like her story seems to get lost a little bit in the puzzling stories of the men around her, that we don't really get to focus too much on her track experiences because the father is so invested in talking to the to her brother at dinner, or we understand her dating life through how her father views the man that she's dating rather than about what she wants.
That's true.
And so even though I totally agree, she was definitely my favorite character, and like the only reason that I think I kept watching was like, well, what's going to happen to Casey? Because I really care about her. But even then, it was a little bit frustrating to see like, oh, okay, well, this important thing that was happening to Casey, like, it was interesting. And then they brought in kind of a doofus male character to make it not so great for her. And it got a little bit lost in that.
Right. Yeah. Character.
Yeah. Diluted it. That's a good way to phrase it.
So what are some things in season two that you guys would like to see that would keep you watching?
I think the most important thing would be to see Sam develop more as a character. So right now, he's super stagnant. We only see him wanting to get women. We don't know anything really about him other than that. And I think if we understand more about him and he moves forward in the issues that he's going through, that would be important. You know, when it comes to any story, we need to see change, because what else keeps you watching other than seeing someone turn into a different character? Whether that's good or bad, it doesn't matter. It's that he's turning into something else, and we need to see that. Other than that, it would just seem like a regular comedy with no depth to it. And I know that they really want depth in the show. You can tell that, but there's nothing right now. So they got to dig deeper.
Well, thank both of you guys for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.